There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that is XD Extra Dude this time? I don't know. Something like that. And with me, as always, Lee is... caught in Atlanta traffic, I believe. So we're going to go right into our guest today. And our guest is Jill from Kaleidoscope, the awesome, awesome kid-geared, but really, there's a lot of adults in there, track. How you doing, Jill?
Hi, how are you? I'm good.
I'm doing well. Appreciate you coming on. This, for those of you that don't know, this is a Friday night, so we're all going to get ready to go out and party. But we had to take time out to do this, really.
Of course, yes.
Either that or I'm going to go immediately after this and go to sleep. But one or the other, certainly.
Or I might watch some DVR shows. You know, I've got some catching up to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Your panel is, well, first of all, explain what the Kaleidoscope panel is for those, or track rather, for those of the people that don't know.
Okay. Kaleidoscope is the family friendly track. We concentrate our programming for 9 to 13 year olds from. With shows from Disney XD, Disney Channel, Cartoon Network, and Nickelodeon, and anything else we can squeeze in there. And it's really more about, they've made it more about the content of the show. So while, you know, while we don't always, we don't get every show from all those channels, we'll just get select shows.
Oh, okay. Now, this is your fifth year?
Yeah, it's our fifth year.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's been growing like crazy. You've been a director the whole time, correct?
Yes, I was. Yes.
That's awesome. Sorry. And how did you become a director? So for those of you that haven't listened before.
I was volunteering, like true volunteering on the young adult literature track, doing like their craft hour and taking photographs for Bev and just doing whatever, you know, just being like a room person. And I guess they put out the word that they needed somebody to try to run a kids track. Mm. And so she submitted my name and Pat Henry called and talked to me. And then I was invited to take it. So I took it. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and it was really an experiment. They were like, it might work. It might not work. We don't know, you know, but we're going to try.
And in that year, you started off pretty big just that year, right? It was...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was obviously a need at Dragon Con for your track and to cover these particular topics that were kind of getting, I mean, arguably you could put some of this under other tracks elsewhere, but they would just kind of get pushed to the side because, you know, the majority of folks that go to Dragon Con are, you know, over 21 and probably don't pay attention to some of this. But a lot of us are of the age where we have kids and we like to bring them and we like to have some place to put them, but you're not a babysitting service.
No, and that was really the genesis of it. People had started contacting Dragon Con asking for something for their kids to do. And many years ago, they had what they called a kids track, but it was really just like an activities track where the tracks came in and like did an activity based on their programming. And I don't guess that really worked very well. It used to be in the like sub basement of the Hyatt, but then everything used to be in the sub basement of the Hyatt. But so you know, and then I guess they just quit that and they waited. And what it was is exactly what you said. People who have been coming to Dragon Con for years had kids or grandkids, and they wanted something for them to do, so they thought they'd give this a try. A lot of the shows maybe aren't as popular with the kids that would come to Dragon Con, you know, the Disney shows or whatever. But there's enough interest in some of the shows that we do a lot of really good programming from there, from those channels.
Now, you sent me a list, not necessarily of your schedule, but of the panels that you have. highlight yeah. a lot of cool stuff. Let's start with the joint panels with other groups. You have several of them. And what other groups are you doing this with?
This is the first year that we've actually done any joint panels. We're doing them with the alternate history track. When it's going to be, they're calling it Growing Up Steampunk. It's really just going to be like an intro to steampunk mm-hmm. for families. And we're doing what's called a middle grade readers track panel with young adult literature. And that's to cover the rise of the books targeted at middle grades.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think maybe when we talked to you a couple years ago, I may mm-hmm. have asked the question of, well, it was either you or the young adult lit track. My daughter was in middle school, and what was there? And it was sort of that there were some stuff out there, but there was still like a gap between elementary yeah. school and then high school, and mm-hmm. some of the stuff that's even some of the stuff that is a little geared towards middle school is still a little on the high school side, right? So
yeah, and then true, a lot of the young adult lit stuff really is more adult than young adult. Mm-hmm. But it just became this like little empty hole for books that writers, especially independent writers, started to fill. Mm-hmm. And some of them started coming to Dragon Con wanting to promote their books. And so they would contact me because that would be the track it would be on. And I'd be like, oh, I don't do books. Books aren't my thing. And, mm-hmm. So it was just kind of getting hung out there to dry. So Bev and I talked about it and we decided we would do a joint panel in. So it could be, both tracks could be represented, but then so she wouldn't have to put it on her schedule. I could put it on mine, and she could just cross-promote it.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. What other tracks do you have going on that are with other folks?
This has turned out to be really popular. We have Doctor Who for Kids with the Brit track. Mm-hmm. We've always had kids from the very first year coming in wanting panels on Doctor Who, but, that's really falls into Caro's area, and so we were just like no, and so she was actually the first director to contact me about doing a joint track, and she says we have to get these kids in here because Disney XD bought the rights to replay mm-hmm. the David Tennant Doctor Who and so they've been playing that all summer.
Was it only David Tennant?
Yeah, it's not even all of his seasons. Like they lobbed off the first season and the last season. It's just like in the middle. And they re-edited them. And it's weird when you watch them because you're like, okay. And why they felt like they needed to and they didn't re-edit it. They edited it for content was what they edited it for. Oh. So and it was really meant to be a bridge to get more boys into watching their channel. But in a lot of ways, it's a bridge to get non-sci-fi kids into sci-fi. Yeah. It's really brought in all of these kids that wouldn't normally watch Doctor Who are now all into Doctor Who.
And I got to be honest with you, it was a weird announcement when I heard it in the first place. I was like, mm-hmm. it doesn't seem like something that Disney would do. I mean, heck, if anything, you'd say, well, make another Star Wars show or something, right? Because you own the rights to that. Why?
Yeah.
Why? But hey, more power to him. I've said this before. I'm not a Doctor Whovian or whatever they're called. However, my son this summer has discovered Doctor Who and is mostly because he started seeing it on Disney XD. Now he's watching it mm-hmm. on Netflix.
Yeah.
They got him going the other direction though.
They put their whole Disney promo machine behind it too. Mm-hmm. If you watch any live TV. Or even if you watch it on the Watch Disney XD app, especially if you watch it on the app, it's just like Doctor Who, Doctor Who, Doctor Who, Doctor Who. They play the commercials for it all the time. So that has pretty much blown up once I released that out to the parents, because, most of the people that we communicate with on social media are actually the parents. They were just like, oh, my God, thank God. And we even have that in the large room because we don't think – either Kara's room or my room would hold everybody that's going to come to that.
Yeah. Ooh, I see you've got a Big Hero 6 thingy.
Yes. This was a surprise for me. We had planned to make that the theme of the dance. Oh. Big Hero 6. Because we try to have a theme, and it's really just for decorations or whatever, and some people come dressed up. But Big Hero 6 is really popular, so we thought we would do that. And then Jess from the animation track said, hey, the voice of Baymax is here. Why don't we do a joint panel? And I was just like, I didn't even realize that it had completely passed my radar on the schedule. I'm not like on the Dragon Con website looking, because I love Baymax. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was one of those that just fell into my lap. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. Oh, by the way, as we go through this, we should point out, as we always do, that all of these panels are tentative.
Oh, yes.
Subject to change, subject to being lopped off because, I don't know, some famous young actor, I can't think of one right off the top of my head, shows up. And so we've got to make room for him, right?
You know, they bring in voice actors from Phineas and Ferb. Stuff will get cut. Awesome. Not that even coming. We asked for them, but
your whole entire track gets cut then, and it's just all one big panel of Phineas and Ferb.
That would be equal to the year that they announced Richard Dean Anderson 2 weeks before the convention.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Stargate's like ripping stuff out of their schedule. Let me make room for that. That's perfectly fine. One of the new things we're doing is team trivia with Gallifrey Pirate Radio, which is a podcast about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And of course, Davey Beauchamp moderates or leads that podcast, and he's been working with us since the first year, and he wanted to do some team trivia, so we're going to do that. And just for fun, just to have some kind of break that's not a panel, you know.
Yeah, it's cool.
And he's been working all summer on this trivia, so it's going to be awesome, yeah. We brought back the writing workshop. Last year was our first year for that.
How did that go?
It went well. We had about 10 kids that came.
Oh, good.
But it was very, you know, they were all very studious, and they had a little, Ron and Brian and Janine from Silence in the Library had a little exercise that they did to help them start their story. And we had little composition books for them, and they wrote and they talked about their stories. And so it was really popular. And so we had a lot of requests for it. We got really good reviews on the app. So we brought it back. And of course, Silence in the Library was really anxious to do it again because, one, it was what Aaron Alston really wanted to do. And two, it was a lot of fun. I mean, some of the kids really had never written before. So it was really successful. And a lot of the kids have followed up with Brian and some of the writers at Silence in the Library, sending them stories and sending them their write-ups and getting critiques and getting them back. So that was a worthwhile panel, and we're glad that we could bring that one back.
Well, that's pretty awesome because, you know, then they become the future guests of Dragon Con. Sitting in on the young adults literature track or, you know, something like that. So.
Yes, they come selling their books.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and kids are so imaginative, and they're so creative, and they're not bound up by things that would stop you and I. Mm-hmm. You know, they just write. They led them in with a series of questions, and whatever the answers were, that was what they went with. And so it was really unique, and it was really fun. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I think on this list, particular list, is we got contacted by Tandy Leather, which is, you know, a company that's been selling leather products for years. Since I was a kid, which has been a long time, wanting to do an activity. And they're calling it Make Your Own Hero Accessory, where the kids are going to come in and they're going to have little kits. And I don't know if it's going to be bracelets or what, but they're going to stamp and pound whatever they want to into these bracelets. And then when they leave, they'll get a little, whatever they make, whatever it is, they'll get to take it with them.
Oh, that's really cool.
We're still working out exactly what it's going to be, but they're really excited. And I do think Tandy Leather is also doing something with the costuming track as well, if I'm not mistaken. So if you wanted the more adult version, you might could check out the costuming track. But
I'm sure they're selling their stuff over in the dealer's room.
Yeah, they have some booths in the vendor's hall. Okay. And I happened to be walking through the vendor's hall last year, and we were just stopped casually looking. When they saw my director's ribbon, and they asked me what I was the director for, and I told them, and they're like, "We've been trying to find you all day," but you know, it was on a Saturday, so you know how they're going to get out of the dealer's hall on a Saturday. So, you know, that's kind of how it started. So that's been, we've kind of had that one in the wings for since last Dragon Con, but we wanted to make sure we could get it in, and Rachel was real accommodating, letting us do it, so it was awesome.
Cool. So you mentioned Scott Adsit, the voice of Baymax.
So what
other guests do you, I know, isn't it cool? It's funny because he's, you know what's weird? He has been to Dragon Con a couple of times already.
Yeah.
But all before Baymax. Now mm-hmm. it's a completely different reason for him being there.
And I mean, it's going to be like, and
if,
you know,
if you know the
oh
reason,
my God, it's Baymax, and they're not going to think of anything else
other than 30 Rock. The reason why he was actually there before is because he does he was a producer and also a voice and whatever on was it Moral Oral?
Yes, Moral
yeah,
Oral.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which is not. Just sort of the opposite end of Baymax. So
yeah,
it's gonna be interesting to see him there. And you know, it's funny too, as I pointed out to my wife the other night, we were actually watching reruns of 30 Rock on Netflix or whatever, and I said, you know, that's the voice of Baymax, right? She goes, no, yes, no, yes. So
I don't know how that one went past me on the guest list, but it did.
Well, I mean, you might have seen him before, and he's like, oh, okay, this guy's.
He's not new.
So who else do you have this year for guests?
We have
tentative guests,
depending. But Bill Farmer is coming back. He's the Disney legend. He's a voice actor. He does the voice of Goofy and Pluto, amongst a bunch of other ones. But he also has an active show on Disney XD called The 7D for the Seven Dwarves. And it's a really cute show about the Seven Dwarves. No Snow White, just the Seven Dwarves. And
what channel is this on?
It's on Disney XD.
Really? I haven't seen this one before. Well, I mean, it's not that I would go looking for it, but I never heard this one. Okay.
The number seven and the letter D, you know, is how they named it. And it's about the dwarves, and they live in Jollywood, and there's a queen of Jollywood, and they have all these adventures. And I mean, it's got like a star-studded cast. This show does, you know, a bunch of the Disney legend voice actors. Jay Leno is the voice, I think, of the Crystal Ball.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Kelly Osbourne is voice of one of the villains. I mean, it's just, there's just Whoopi Goldberg, I think, is the Magic Mirror. I mean, there's just a ton of huge talent on this show. And when he was announced last year, we got one panel with him, and we talked about Goofy and Pluto, of course, and then he started talking about the 7D, and I was like, man, I hadn't seen that, so I went back and started watching it, and it is really cute, and I actually watch it on Sunday mornings. I think it's in reruns, and I don't know when the new episodes come out. I watch so much stuff in reruns or on the DVR, so it's hard for me to know when it really comes out, but you can just look at their programming. It's there, and it's little 15-minute episodes, kind of like Phineas and Ferb, where it's like two 15-minute shows in 30 minutes. We also have Charlie Schlater. He's coming back. He was not here last year, but the year before. He is best known for being on Diagnosis Murder. But he was the voice of Kick Buttowski on – it was another Disney XD show. It's actually like my favorite Disney XD show. So I get real excited. I get to have Kick Buttowski on my track. And then he does voices for Legos. He does Lego Robin and Lego The Flash. So we're playing the Lego angle as well for him. And then we have a what we call a group voice panel, which will bring in another set of guests that we have, Yuri Lowenthal and Tara Platt from Ben 10 Omniverse. Yuri is the voice of Ben 10. His wife, Tara Platt, is the voice of a character named Jennifer Nocturne, who's sometimes good, sometimes bad, like that. She's kind of she likes Ben 10, but Ben 10 doesn't really like her, which is weird because in real life they're married. But and they have been really excited. They were some of the first guests that they announced for us, and they're really excited about coming to Dragon Con.
Is this their first time?
Yes, I think it is.
Okay, sweet.
And they are really super excited. And of course, they're going to be on the video gaming track. I believe they're going to be on some on the animation track and some podcasting maybe. I think that they're going to be doing all of that. So we're really excited to have them because Ben 10 is a really popular show and it's had so many incarnations.
It's had a few, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like this generation's Ninja Turtles. They just bring it back. But, you know, he's the current voice of Ben 10. And there's been, you know, actual children that's done Ben 10, but he's the current voice. And so, you know, again, very popular with boys. So, and then we have him for one panel. His name is Amari Newton. I think he's here from Continuum. Okay. There's a show, and I can't remember what channel I'm on. I want to say it's XD. It's like they're getting all our press, called Max Steel. It's about a boy and it's a robot, and they combine and they make a superhero. Max is the kid and Steel is the robot, and they make Max Steel. And Omari Newton is the voice of Jefferson, which is one of his adult confidants on that show. And it's another one of the shows that I like, that I swear if I like the show, kids don't really like it, but I like Max Steel. And so I was like, oh, Jefferson, you know, so they said, okay, you can have him on a panel. So we put him on here because we couldn't judge how popular Max Steel would be for a standalone panel. But I'm personally very excited to have him. So, you know, that him, Tara and Yuri and Charlie Slater are going to be on a panel together.
Oh, that's really cool.
Where for kids voice, the kids shows voice actors, like people who voice act on kids shows. And we're going to like you, it's going to be like, so kids can ask them questions about voice acting, you know.
Cool. Now, so that's now, because I just thought that obviously that's going to be in a big room, right?
It's yes.
not going to be in your track room, but where is your track room?
Our track room is in the Marriott, unless they move it between now and Dragon Con. Atrium level.
Always possible.
Anything is possible. Atrium level, room 708. We're right next door to Young Adult Lit, who is right next door to Star Wars, who is across the hallway from Puppetry. So if you can find any of those, you can find us.
Sweet.
And we used to be right across from the Blood Drive, but they moved the Blood Drive, so.
You know. Yeah, they moved the Blood Drive over to Sheridan? Is that right?
No, it's in the Hilton.
Oh, okay, it's in the Hilton. But do they on the Thursday? Did they do one in the Sheridon?
Yes, I do believe they do one.
Yeah,
in
that's what
Thursday,
it was. Okay,
or Thursday and Friday when people are in the registration line to get the people that go through the Sheridon.
Which is interesting. Well, it would be more interesting if people had to wait in line like back, you know, say 5-6 years ago.
Oh yeah.
Here, let's draw your blood and let you stand in line.
I think last year or maybe the year before was the first time they did that, but that didn't start happening until after the quicker registration thing.
Yeah,
happened.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah. They'd have to be giving them an awful lot of snacks.
Yeah. You mentioned a dance. Are you having a dance this year?
Yes, we had our dance. This is our second dance. Last year was kind of a test.
How'd it go?
Oh my gosh, it was amazingly popular. That was the thing on the app. We got 100 positive feedbacks on the app about the dance.
Oh, nice.
It was, and you never know how these things are going to go. You know, you don't really know what to expect. And we didn't know. I was just like, no, not one kid is going to show up, you know. And if they do show up, they're all just going to sit in chairs and not dance. But it was like a tween mosh pit. They were all jumping around, and we had glow sticks, and the best thing about it was we didn't really do it on purpose. It kind of worked out that way. Half of the room was chairs, and half of the room was a dance floor. And so the parents just kind of lined themselves up in the chairs, you know, and the kids were dancing, and whatever, and so it was basically just 2.5 hours of like kids burning off energy to dance music with a lot of bass. Mm. Flinging glow sticks. So it was awesome. It actually did what we wanted it to do, which was entertain the kids, warm them out, so they wouldn't all pile into the Yule ball. You know, because that had always been the default kids dance before. Right. was the first couple hours of the Yule ball, but it was just becoming too much, and right. So you know. Parents carried kids out asleep,
awesome.
In their arms or in strollers, and whoever we had working the door, it was actually some of my volunteers, would stop costumers and ask them to come in and dance with the kids. And so we had this continuous stream of people in costumes come in and dance with the kids, take pictures and leave.
Oh, you know, you're giving me goosebumps. It's so awesome.
And it was, and I, because I said, where are all these costume people coming from? So I went to the door, and here's my staffers out there going, hey, you want to come in here and dance? You know, dress like, you know, Frozen. Or we ended up at one time with all 10 Disney princesses in the room.
Oh, that's cool.
And Captain America, and, you know, and so they were just asking him, and the people of their own fruition would say, sure, we'll come dance for a little bit. And they would dance with the kids. We had a whole Frozen sing-along thing where everybody sang Let It Go. And it just turned out to be really awesome. And it when we walked out of the room last year, because David Gordon, who is our senior director, had stopped by to see how it was going. And he said, you need to do this next year. I said, you need to give me a room to do it next year.
Oh, so, where was it this year? Where was it last year?
It was in A601, 602 in the Marriott.
What? That's not very big.
Well, it's big enough, I think.
Okay.
I mean, for now, if it gets any bigger, it won't be big enough. But we changed the layout a little bit. I talked to the tech ops people. And we're going to have, instead of just like a bank of chairs, we're going to have some tables in there so we can have a little more room to dance.
Oh, okay, good.
And I think one of my volunteers is going to set up a photo booth so people can come take pictures.
Oh, that'll be awesome. So when is that? When is that actually scheduled?
It's scheduled for Sunday night from 5:30 to 7:30, would pad you an hour before the Yule Ball started if you did want to make the transition from our dance to the Yule Ball. And but that gets them in and out before the, you know, magical 8-9 o'clock window of doom.
Yeah, you want to be especially especially Sunday, because now everyone's just gotten completely rowdy.
It's complete. Now, I don't think there's any way we could have done it on a Saturday, to be honest with you.
Well,
one, there
really
probably
insane.
Wasn't a room, and two, we were purposely trying to bump it up before the Yule Ball, which of course is on Sunday.
Cool. So you actually do have a couple of other panels. For one that you've invited me to be on, which is the Gravity Falls mystery panel, I assume.
Oh yeah, that's good. That one's full of spoilers. If you're not up to date on Gravity Falls, you need to get up to date before Dragon Con.
You know, it's funny. So I watch it usually after my kids do. But we're out in Seattle two weekends ago. It was 2 weekends ago. The kids go. As we're going back home, can't wait to get back home because we have a Gravity Falls waiting for us. And sure enough, as soon as we got home, they took their showers real quick. Both of them sat down. Now, mind you, I have a 15-year-old and an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And both of them sat down and watched this season's premiere, right? The third season premiere, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of Gravity Falls, and that's how much that. Here, my son had a Gravity Falls themed birthday party.
Oh, awesome.
And it wasn't just, my daughter's a really good artist, and she made up all the, let me put it this way. Last year for Halloween, she made William the book, I can't remember the words, for Dipper's book, you know.
Dipper's book.
And he won as Dipper.
Yeah.
And then this year she went for his birthday. She painted all the stuff. She painted the vomiting gnomes various different insignias and whatnot from
the Mystery Shack.
From the Mystery Shack, and put it all together. This is how much my kids are into.
Wow, into, that's amazing.
Gravity Falls. They love it. And my son, there's a period of time over between seasons 2 and 3 where my son was right every day. He'd write up his theories on his he has a little dry erase board on his door, and he'd write up his little theories on who's who and who's really behind this, that kind of thing. So that's really cool. So Gravity Falls mystery panel sounds like a blast.
Yeah, that one's proving to be real popular, too, because that's popular with kids and adults. So
now, the next one I see here on your list was one that, before we start recording, I was like, what? Say Goodbye to Phineas and Ferb. I didn't know that they were in there. They're ending the show.
Yeah, it's ended already.
Oh,
it was a couple weekends ago. It's called the episode is called The Last Day of Summer. And
why?
Yeah, I don't know exactly why, but they did, and they the kids go back to school, which, you know, is the whole thing that the whole show has been. They've been in their summer time, because the theme song is 104 days of summer vacation.
But they did more than 104 episodes, so.
Oh, yeah, of course. God, they did way more than episodes of that. It's kind of like for people, Dennis the Menace is always in the fifth grade, so they were always in the summer. And so this was about them going back to school, and I also kind of had a flash forward to some things that happen when they get ready to go to college, and then they came back to the present day and in the cartoon. So, and that's another one that's going to be spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, you haven't caught up with that, then, or if you're behind, say, watching it on Netflix or the Disney XD app, that one can hurt you. I cried and cried.
You know
and cried
what?
And cried.
I actually did watch that one. I didn't realize it was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
The one with where she. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. We'll save it in case you haven't watched it.
And they did a panel. The creators did a panel at Comic-Con, kind of the same thing where fans came in, say goodbye, and they are working on a new series called Murphy's Law.
Okay.
It's about a kid named Murphy and, you know, all the things that happened to him. But I haven't heard a lot of details about that one yet. But so they are the two creators are working on something new, and that may have been why that it ended. But there was some rumors coming out of San Diego Comic-Con that they might bring it back, if just in a different way. So we don't know for sure if it's gone, but for now it's gone. I mean, but it's in like constant repeats.
Yeah.
So you can catch up with anything, but
I'm totally bummed.
I was excited when you heard me say I was crying, but, the past couple conventions, those panels have been getting smaller and smaller. Cause when we first started 5 years ago, that was the show.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Everybody loved Phineas and Ferb. And so it's kind of gotten smaller and been kind of taken over by Gravity Falls. There's a lot of new animated shows that are kind of that same genre that are really popular. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those are on Cartoon Network on mm-hmm. Thursday night. So there's a whole list of those we're going to do all in one panel. But it was really sad. And the whole cast live tweeted that episode live while we were playing it. And it was just, everybody was sad. They were sad. We were sad. You know, it was just,
I had no idea that it had, I mean, I the kids were watching. So I sat down and watched it, but I had no idea that it was, mm-hmm. the end. That's sad. No, I'm really bummed.
I'm sorry.
Help pick me up here. What you got a Disney theme park tips and tricks panel. Disney's
yeah, that
fun.
Was that. Now we did that for the first time last year, and we did it in our an hour late slot. Okay, the Kaleidoscope late slot is 8:30.
Ooh, geez.
Oh, we stay open till 9:30, man. That's late. And so we did that, and it's good in bringing more adults. So mm-hmm. of course, it's why we put it in that slot. But that was really popular, and it was me and a couple of my volunteers and a couple other people that were just like big Disney nerds and Disney park nerds, and so. We could have talked for hours about Disney at that panel. Actually, we talked 25 minutes about what kind of stroller to rent.
Really?
That was how in-depth we got into stroller conversation. So, and we actually have some podcast guests for that one this year from a podcast called Communicore Weekly. Hmm. And they're the same kind of Disney nerds. So that one's going to be a lot of fun. And it's at night again. I think it's on Saturdays when we have it slated, but maybe not. I don't know. You know, those things change a lot, mm-hmm. Like daily these days. And then we have another one called Collecting Disney, where they're going to talk about collecting Disney pins, Vinylmations, which if you don't know what it is, you need to Google it because there's really no way to explain it. And Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom cards, which is a game that you can play in the parks or on a cruise.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Magic the Gathering, but it's interactive, and you go around the park with a map and these cards, and you play the cards, and they've become this hot collector's item. So we're going to do that panel. And then towards the end of that panel, we're actually going to do some pin trading.
Oh, really?
I have some people, myself included, who are huge pin traders. And we're going to have like a pin trading board. Anybody who's familiar with Disney pin trading, we're going to have a pin trading board. And then we're all going to be able to trade your pins. You'd have to bring your own pins, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll be people there. And we've kind of been cross-promoting that with there's an Atlanta pin trading group, you know, trying to get people in. So there'll actually be people to pin trade. But and I announced that one on the DragonCon Facebook page, and that was really popular. So we have a lot of people slated to come pin trade,
that's cool.
Which seems to be huge, yeah. Way huger than I thought. Because most people collect like one thing, you know, they collect the character or, you know, but pin trading is huge.
Now you mentioned, you know, bringing more parents in. Now I see one of the other mm-hmm. highlighted items here is tough topic for parents.
What's supposed to be topics? I can't
topics.
Spell.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. I guess I should go. I guess
one
I should,
tough
I guess
topic,
I should
which we all know
that, huh? Yeah. In my schedule. That is what we did in place of a retro panel this year, because we couldn't decide what kind of retro panel we wanted to do. First, we were going to do Jim and the Holograms, and then we were going to do Scooby-Doo, and then we couldn't really decide. And
Jim is excitement. You know that, right?
I know. And when they released that live action trailer, I thought the internet was going to explode.
I don't know what the heck they're doing. I don't know either. Let's be honest. Jem was not the greatest thing in the world. It's fun to look back on. But still.
I mean, they're seriously messing with people's childhood, messing with Jem and the Holograms.
But you have a bunch of us hipsters, or whatever, that are willing to go to see this movie if it stays, quote unquote, faithful to the original. Instead, what they've decided to do is just basically create another movie like every other teen movie that's out there, right?
Exactly.
So anyway, the Tough Topics.
So Tough Topics is, and I was actually approached by one of my volunteers who's a policeman and wanted to do a topic for parents. And we're going to do, you know, bullying, cyberbullying. We have a guy coming in from the skeptics track to talk about what's good and what's bad on the internet. We'll have a representation from the, I can never get it right, LGBT. I always mix the letters up.
One on there too, but.
Yeah. So we have somebody coming in to talk about that. It's huge right now. Transgender, you know, all that stuff is huge. So we're having, just so we can have a dialogue with adults, and that is actually listed as targeted as adult. Okay. It's meant to be for adults. So you have conversations about how you talk to your kids about these things. How can you help them, you know, if they're being bullied, if they're in cyberbullying is really huge. Bullying on Facebook is huge, you know, and just, I think in general, kids are on the internet and parents don't know where they are, you know, or they don't know what they're looking at. Or they don't know what they're doing because unless you're out on whatever the latest thing is, Keek, it's like the other Vine or the other Snapchat. You know, if you're not out there yourself, you don't really have any idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so we're going to have, and it's just an hour. We're going to talk about those kind of topics and just as a conversation starter. So parents can ask how other parents deal with those things.
Well, that's very cool.
That's a heavy topic.
Yeah. Yeah. You have and I'm looking over your list, and I'm sure that there's more that'll be added, or maybe some will be taken away, but you've got a very, very, very robust and in a lot of ways diverse areas that you're covering this year.
And if you haven't seen Tomorrowland, don't come to that panel either.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Tomorrowland?
I loved it.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I liked it a lot.
It's weird because everybody I've talked to has said they have liked it to some degree or another. Some people really, really liked it. Some people just liked it and said it was good. But it seemed to get hammered by the critics for some reason.
Yeah, the critics didn't like it at all. And if you're even the smallest bit of a Disney nerd, there's so much in that movie to say, oh, you know, especially Disneyland. Because some of it was actually filmed at Disneyland. Right. So you can, you know, there's a bajillion Easter eggs if you know what to look for. We're going to talk about that. But, you know, you kind of have to, we have to be careful because we want everyone to know that if you come there and you haven't seen the movie, which by then should be out on DVD.
Yeah, I was just about ready to ask, do you know when it's coming out on DVD? Yeah.
Which should have the most killer bonus disc ever on the planet. Even better, dare I say, than a Star Wars bonus disc. Brandy would be like, because there's so much that they purposely put in there because it's Disney, you know. They do it in their theme parks. They do it anyway, and it was just, there's so much. You know, there's nods to The Rocketeer. There's nods to any other possible show you could think about in there.
Actually, it looks like it's not going to come out till October.
Oh, no. Yeah. Ooh, that's really going to be spoilery then. Oh,
yeah. At least what I'm seeing here on on the interwebs, Yeah, they're saying looks like September. That's a target. Mm-hmm. So October rather. It may or may not be at that time. You know, your mileage may vary. The internet is the internet.
Yeah. So you would think Christmas release would be probably smart for that, but
Yeah, Amazon doesn't have a date on it yet, so you can pre-order it, but
yeah, you pre-order it. No, it's not going to help you not find spoilers at Dragon Con.
It is $25 if you want to pre-order on Amazon right now.
That's awesome. We are for the first time going to do some Pixar.
Oh, okay.
And what we're basically doing is we're trying to stay within like the last 5 years of Pixar, because that's really time range that we target.
I'm going to assume you have. You've seen Inside Out, right?
Actually, I have not yet.
Oh my! Why have you not seen it yet?
I have been working. Awesome. I want to see it. I want to see it so bad. I have downloaded all the emojis on my phone and the GIFs and everything.
I got to tell you, it is probably my second favorite Disney Pixar film. Ever, and certainly the best since they've become Disney.
Yes,
my favorite since they've become Disney. But right after The Incredibles, and only because The Incredibles is just kind of actually both things have the best of Pixar's stuff has the family theme. But between it and Up, by the way, same director. It'll if you watch those two as a double header, you might as well just watch the first 10 minutes of Up and then watch Inside Out, and then you're like, oh, you'll be an emotional wreck.
Anyway. Yes. And everyone on my volunteer staff has seen it with me, and they're like, wah! I'm like, okay, all right. See it. I've been traveling, and it's just hard. And
It's weird because I went in with absolutely zero expectation because this is typical of Pixar, too. They do a good job of hiding their trailers. You never really quite know what you're going into. I mean, Up had very little to do with whatever I thought it was going to be. I thought it was just going to be some sort of, I mean, it was an adventure, right? But it wasn't, but it was, of course, as many of their great Pixar films, with the exception of Pixar films, it was much more layered than it seemed on the trailers. Now, given trailers, if you watch Cars 2 or Planes or whatever, you know what you're getting there. You're pretty much getting the same thing that you're seeing there. that's pretty
what you see is what you get.
But Inside Out, I cannot speak enough about it. It is certainly my favorite movie so far this summer, and I put that ahead of Ant-Man, which I really, really enjoyed. So
wow, I'm sitting here looking at the same list you're looking at, and I left off some guests.
Oh, who'd you leave off?
We have some guests from the regular show, which is on Cartoon Network.
Oh, yeah. And very popular with the adults.
Yes, and the kids. Kids love the regular show.
My son's sorry. I had to say goodnight to him. All right.
Okay. William Sayers and Courtney Taylor and Sam Marin, and I don't know their characters, which is for shame on me. But they're big, they're big characters from what I understand in the regular show. So we do have them for one panel. And they are going to be also on the animation track and, I believe, video game track. So they'll be spread around.
Okay, cool.
And we are talking about the new Dragons, How to Train Your Dragons episode. The third season was released on Netflix.
Right.
So you can just, mainline it, which is what I did. And, it's called Race to the Edge, and it's very good. And that will probably be laced with spoilers if you haven't seen that as well.
They've done a good job. That series in the movies has been really well done, and really, really, it seems to have been done with care. I guess is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I haven't seen this season the Netflix original season thing, but. But everything else I saw, that was on Cartoon Network and obviously the movies was very well. And the movies did something that I never thought I would ever see in a movie of that nature. So,
it gets more, there's more of that in this episode. Oh, it's 13 episodes in this series. There's more of that. More. Yeah. So you have to, you don't want to spoil it, especially not on the podcast, so that is, and people are really excited about that, but How to Train Your Dragon and that whole franchise is super popular. Yeah. And they hit all the buttons with that, especially because you can just say, okay, I got to watch the next one now. And you don't have to wait. You can just sit there, with your lunch and watch it all.
Cool. Well, let me ask you, let's tell everyone where they can find more information about your track and, again, where you're located.
Okay, we're in the Marriott, an atrium level, room 708. We do have a Facebook page called Dragon Con Kaleidoscope Track. Twitter is DeconKT for Dragon Con Kaleidoscope Track. Okay.
Sorry, my daughter just walked in.
That's okay. And we have an Instagram, same DeconKT, but mostly we do Facebook and Twitter. So, and then our website, kaleidoscope.dragoncon.org. That's where everything is right now. The schedule leak is up there. All the guests are up there. The form to request music for the dance is up there. So the stuff we do have, that goes directly to the DJ. And then she sends me a Dropbox link with all these songs that I listen to, because I review every requested song. She has a range of songs I say if they stay within this range, I don't care. But the stuff that is requested through the music request form, I listen to them all.
Yeah.
And I would have to say about right now, it's about 50-50, the ones that are actually going to get played.
I DJed a couple of years at the fifth grade at my kids' elementary school, fifth grade, you know, graduation party or whatever, banquet. And the requests that they would come up to me with, I'm like, really? No, not playing. Yeah. Especially at a school, but seriously, you probably should not be listening to that.
One, too, because the dance, I mean, the Kaleidoscope Track is really targeted, excuse me, at 9 to 13-year-olds, but the dance really targets a younger age. It gets a younger age. Mm-hmm. We had them in there as young as 5 last year. You know, because by the time they get 11, 12, 13, then it's not cool anymore. They want to go to the U-Ball. They don't want to come in there. So we really try to keep that super, super kid-friendly. Mm-hmm. You know, even some of the clean versions of stuff I don't allow, you know. And just because it's not going to be appropriate.
You really don't want that email from the parent.
No, you don't.
Nah.
And, you know, and we try to focus it on, like, Disney music and, you know, just whatever they request. We have, like, somebody requested, like, the Ninja Turtles theme from Nickelodeon, so we got that. And, you know, and it's really, truly Meghan Trainor, because it's all about
truly
the
outrageous?
Bass.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Because it's all about the bass, because you see them in there, the little kids, and their heads are bobbing up and down, and they're jumping up and down. And it's like a mosh pit, but just with kids. And because they're just all, they don't really dance, they just kind of all just jump around. But it's really awesome to see.
Let me ask you our last question.
Uh-oh.
Which is,
I've heard this is hard.
I didn't ask you one last year?
You did, but I have been listening to the other director's podcast. I'm like, oh, God,
well, this
these
one
are
I was
hard.
I was going to take it easy on you here.
Okay.
It actually may be the one I asked you last year, but if you could live in any of the realities of of the folks on your track, of the focuses of your track, I suppose we should say, which reality would you like to live in? And all the other realities have to go away.
All of them have to go away. Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding. You could just
That's
one.
Rough. Because, you know, they all have their virtues.
Yeah.
They all do. And I'm going to say something probably not what you expect. There's a new show called Star versus the Forces of Evil.
My son watches that, yeah.
I love that show. And I think I would have to pick that show.
I haven't watched it, but it looks insane.
It is kind of crazy, but it is awesome. And, you know, I love that show, and if I knew it, we can't get a gauge as to whether or not how popular it is. Mm-hmm. We have it kind of tied into our heroes and villains panel, but I like that show, so I could live in Star versus the Forces of Evil world.
Oh, that's cool. And like I said, yeah, my son watches it. I haven't sat down to watch it, but
there's a cheat because she has the dimensional scissors, so she could cut and go wherever she wants.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yes, there's dimensional scissors. You have to understand.
All right. But, well, there you go.
There you go. But yeah, it only takes you to her dimension, so you gotta watch out for that.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, Jill, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate all the hard work that you and the other directors put together, especially, you know, yours is especially to us parents is especially welcomed. And I do know, you know, the years going to Dragon Con, even before I was a parent, that that was always the one thing. Oh, well, they have the babysitting, but that's, you know, but
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's nice to that you're doing your bit to raise good geeks. So.
Oh, we try. And we didn't even talk about it, but I didn't tell you. And I don't know if you know, but in the app, when it's finally released, there's going to be a searchable flag.
Uh-huh. What?
And there's a flag where you can search for kid-friendly panels. And so, as characters, we went in and flagged our items that were kid-friendly. And so you'll be able to search for those that way. There's also a mature-only flag. Oh, and then everything else is a general flag. So I know you're trying to close up, but I just thought of that. So when you download the app and when you're on site, you can always just search for the kid-friendly. And that gives you the stuff across all tracks. And talk about a spoiler, some of the stuff that I've seen the other tracks putting together that's for the families mm-hmm. is going to be awesome.
Cool. Now, you mentioned, and I did want to mention this before too, because I haven't mentioned it yet on any of the podcasts, the app mm-hmm. is not only important for you finding your way around and learning what's available at Dragon Con, but mm-hmm. for the directors, mm-hmm. I know this from, you know, talking to Lee a lot, it is vital for them to understand what it is that you want. Yeah, I know everyone comes up to the directors during the con, but there's so many people that you talk to at the end of the day. You're like, oh, I don't know. What does someone say? I don't know.
Yeah,
but
you can't remember. Mm-hmm.
If you honestly rate the panels that you go to mm-hmm. and not just be some people, please don't be vindictive just because you didn't like the answer that somebody
you didn't get in the room.
Yeah, things like that. That's not mm-hmm. cool. But if you honestly answer, and I believe that Rachel does a good job of sort of filtering a lot of that out of there anyway.
She does. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see all of the remarks. Mm-hmm. They just don't count against us. Because that was truly parents rating the dance on the app is mm-hmm. what brought it back. I mean, that's the mm-hmm. truth.
And yeah, it's important that you use that to do that and let the directors know. And also, hey, it's not a bad idea to, you know, even just say, hey, good job, thanks for doing this type thing in mm-hmm. there too. That's not a bad idea either.
Yeah.
Folks, please use the app and help the family flag is cool. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. So
yeah, they announced that a couple meetings ago, and so everybody has been diligent. And please, you know that the other tracks have kid-friendly programming as well. Mm-hmm. So look at their things. If they have a particular interest that would fall into one of those, it's going to be some awesome Star Wars stuff this year.
And if you do happen to go into a family-friendly track that you know is family-friendly, please be family-friendly.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Now, we announced before ours, you know, the G-rated, no cussing, mm-hmm. kids get to line up for questions first. But that's just our track. But I think everybody has been trying to make it so there's not as much.
Cool. Or at least it's known going in, right?
Yeah, you know going in. Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff, the late night stuff, they started carding people.
Yeah, you probably should know anyway going into most of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big hint, after 10 o'clock, don't take your kid.
Yeah, we just talked to Caro last night and like, she talked about her after dark stuff. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so. You know, Clive's got Blues on the Edge, our After Dark stuff is at 8:30.
Yeah. as you can tell, it is actually 8:30 here as we're recording this. And as you heard, my kids are going to bed already. Yeah. And again, 11 and 15, and they're still going to bed at 8:30. So.
Yeah, anyway. I might go to bed too when we get done.
All right. So again, thank you, Jill, for all the work you do. And
thanks for having me.
Hey, my pleasure. And for Lee, who's still probably stuck in Atlanta traffic, you gotta love it. This is John for Jill saying until next time, peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.